In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you are ashamed of doing something wrong, what do you do? What do you do? Do you publicize it?
No.
No, you don't, right? You don't say, look at me, I did something wrong. Do you share it with others?
Yes.
Do you share that you're wrong with others? Do you like to make you wrong?
No.
Do you like to brag about your wrong? No. We do the opposite, right? We like to hide our mistakes. That's why we have that old phrase in our English language. We have our skeleton in our closets. We like to keep it secret. And it's no wonder why most criminals, thieves, and burglars do their crimes when? At daylight? No. At night. And when they get what they have stolen, they sometimes hide it in darkness. They try to cover up everything. The opposite is true as well. When we are proud of something we have accomplished, we like people to look at us, even though some of us, like myself included, don't like the limelight, but once in a while we like to hear that a voice. We like to have a pat on the back. We want people to see our good works, and we try at times to publicize it. If you've ever been to an art show or a gallery, you often see these things called paintings, sculptures, weavings, and photographs. And are they in the dark? No. They are normally encased in a bright light, so that you can see every single angle, color, and piece of tapestry, so that you can behold the beauty. Various authors throughout the Bible have used this contrast of darkness and light throughout their books and letters. In our assigned reading today, Paul, in our reading from Ephesians chapter 5, 6 through 21, Paul continues his talk. He continues his talk to the Christians in Ephesus about their former way of life. For if you recall last week, we talked about how Paul used that illustration of the old self and the new self. Today he continues on talking about the illustration of darkness to light. His words from verse 8 will serve as our theme this day, and I'd like us to read it together because this brings out this idea of darkness and light. Let's join together.
For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord.
As we begin, let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, strengthen us to speak and to act as you desire. We place our foul talk from our mouths with praise for you and encouragement for our brothers and sisters in Christ and those around us. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that they may be pleasing in your sight. Amen.
You were at one time sons of darkened disobedience. We heard a warning from Paul in today's reading in the church of Ephesus. He says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. So what are these things that Paul is a little hesitant to speak about? It's fascinating, to my opinion, that the lectionary committee forgot to tell us these things. We actually have to go backwards in our text. We don't even catch it last week. Because before today's reading and between last week's reading and today's reading, Paul lists off six vices that were common in the ancient world. He says these words, But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Paul wanted these former pagans, these former unbelievers, not to go back to their old ways, not back to their roots. If you remember correctly, some weeks ago, when we started our sermon series on Ephesians, we talked about this temple of Artemis, this temple that was built, that was the bank center, trade center, and the religious hub of Ephesus. Paul is trying to warn these Ephesian Christians, don't go back. Don't return to these gods of your life that you once worshipped. He wanted them to avoid things like idolatry worship, which often required, if you remember correctly, it required sexual intercourse with sexual prostitutes to appease their gods. He warns them also against uncleanness of thought, word, and deed, and also avoid grasping or coveting what others have, whether it's money, possessions, or other relationships. And if that wasn't enough, the apostle continues on to say, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead that there be thanksgiving. So why? Why was Paul so adamant against these people returning back to darkness? Paul declares to these Christians in Ephesus these hard words. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. These vices of the ancient world have not disappeared. These vices of the ancient world appear in our lives as well. They are still very part of our lives today. We find it in our lives. We are constantly being bombarded by them. There are impurities that not only fill our movies, our televisions, and our computer screens. I don't know if you recognize the picture off to the right. Do you know where that picture is at? That's Walmart, folks. That's Walmart. When you walk down the aisles of Walmart, there is a section of magazines. Even in the 21st century, where magazines are disappearing at astronomical rates. I got to put a picture of Winkle's racks as well. These racks are filled with impurity, covetousness that surround us as well, whether it's sexual impurity or other impurities as well. For we are being constantly bombarded with things like chiseled celebrities, athletes, and models that appear on the covers of these magazines. Likewise, in these shelves, they're filled with self-help books that tell us this is the way that we need to live our lives. If we follow their steps, they say that they will improve our lives. And if you go over a section from Walmart, there are videos as well that try to gratify our sinful flesh. To looking longingly at these possessions, to desiring those things on social media. I don't know if you've been on Facebook recently, but people like to post their own selfies and their own food that they're having for their own meals. They post their own lifestyle down and say, look at me. And sometimes we covet their lives of our neighbors. We
being come, it was called, we were being bombarded constantly. And if that's not bad enough, our way of speech and our way of talk is being bombarded among us as well. For our tongue is on fire, folks. On fire with filthiness, foolish talk, and even crude joking. This tongue of ours could be slipping things like the latest joke about our president of the United States. It could be our finger reposting the filthy meme. It could be deceiving another with a lie. Or it could be simply spewing the latest gossip about our neighbors. Paul wants us as well to be repent of these ways of life as well. Paul's harshness and sternness that was originally directed to those Christians in Ephesus is directed towards you and me as well. Hear these words from Ephesians chapter 5, 5 through 7 again. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Each one of us walks in darkness. Each of us are sons of disobedience. Like Paul says, for it is shameful even to speak of the things they and we do in secret. Each of us deserves that eternal condemnation that Paul speaks about in these words. So is there anything that can save us sons of darkness, us sons of disobedience? Hear these words of Paul from verses 11 through 13 of today's text. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. For when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. In other words, turn back to God, who is light. This act of repentance is not something done by our free will. It's not done by our act of obedience. For we, sons of disobedience, who don't like or want to come to the light, we are creatures of the night. We want to scurry away from the light. Yet it's by God's grace and His mercy that He sends His Holy Spirit. He sends His Holy Spirit to come and pursue after each one of us. He pursues after us, and the Holy Spirit's charge, His charge is simply this, to enlighten each one of us. And when He finds us, He enlightens us by the Word of God. At first, it is painful. Yes, it is. It is very painful. I don't know if you've ever been in a dark room and someone flips on the lights out of the blue. What do? You squint. You blink your eyes. You get spotted and that. It hurts your eyes. The same way when we get exposed by the light of God's Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's painful. It hurts us because it exposes to us our impurities and how dark and filthy we really are. It reveals our sins, including those sins of sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness,
foolish talk, and those that we try to keep secret, we can't keep secret from God, because He knows every single last one of them. It informs us that each one of them deserved God's full temporal and eternal punishment. However, does God's light just do that? No, in pure light, doesn't do that. It enlightens by God's word. It informs us about the one who is the light, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and what He has done for our sins. That through Jesus' good, right, pure, and true life, His death on that cross on that Friday when the world went dark, and on His Easter resurrection, which took place when the sun broke the horizon on Easter morning, Jesus has drowned out all our dark impurities, all our sins, and gives us the light of life with Him forever. The Holy Spirit bestows you these gifts. He bestows upon you these gifts of the light of the world today. He does it through His word that is attached to the waters of your baptism, where you become no longer sons of darkened disobedience, but you become children of the obedient light. Likewise, it is by Jesus doing in His obedience that we now, like Paul, say these words, walk as children of light, filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody to the Lord with your hearts, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We who are now children of the obedient light, children of God, we are now sustained through His blessed word that is read and proclaimed to us. And in this blessed meal where we receive our Savior's true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, our Lord preserves us, His precious children, until that day when He awakens us from the graves with those words that we hear, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Amen. Please rise.